Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, they certainly appreciate you being here, so sure. Thanks again. Okay, so yesterday we attempted a conversation with the deputy chair of the NCOP.
We attempted.
Yes, we attempted.
Yeah, okay.
He came on and told us categorically that he knows
nothing. My God.
What we were discussing.
You.
And then when we left.
So the interview was over.
It had to be over because he told me clearly from the word go, he knows nothing. And then when the show was over, my producer wanted to smack me because she said, how do you allow deputy chair to walk away telling you they know nothing? So I was in trouble because she said I should have pushed and asked him, why don't you know anything? But then we wanted somebody who knows something because we want to understand what's happening with infrastructure backlog in Gauteng. So NCOP Gauteng Provincial Whip, Jane Mananiso, is on the line with us, JJ. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome, MP.
Evening and good evening as well to your listeners.
Yes,
thank you for inviting.
Absolutely, I'm also here with JJ Taban, who's also going to be chipping in with some questions. Let's talk a little bit about the site visit to Gauteng by the committee that came to Gauteng from the NCOP.
Okay, thank you. We are a team of six from the NCOP, of which this week is our provincial week. Provincial week is that members come from parliament to come and engage on constituency issues. So this week we have a thematic program that we are embarking on, of which it emanates from the past parliament, but as a follow-up to say that we are confronting the challenges facing timely delivery on viable public infrastructure to communities. So in our space in Gauteng, we have actually sampled some programs per regions. We're from West Rand, we're from Greater Johannesburg, and as well, today we just went to Ekurhuleni and Tshwane. And we went as well yesterday to Citibank. So we have sampled different programs from human settlement, social development, health, and as well road and transport, and sports, arts, and culture. So what we are doing is to do our oversight on asking what could have went wrong in terms of delayed project, incomplete project, and as well abandoned infrastructure. So what we would do would get executive giving us the report. Like on Tuesday, we had a session with the Premier and his MECs in terms of taking us through what are the projects that are pending and what is it that they are doing. But before we came to our province as delegate, as permanent delegates, we had a 3-year planning in terms of national, provincial, and as well local, where SALGA was representing the local sphere. On that 3 planning session, it is the first of its kind where we deliberated on this issue of infrastructure. After that particular session, we then had a session with the Minister of Infrastructure, Deputy Minister, actually, and the Minister of Human Settlement, where we were given feedback as well, an overview on what is the issue about infrastructure projects that are delayed, abandoned, as well, incomplete. So we've been in the province from Tuesday up until tomorrow, but today we have just finished our oversight. What we are looking at is reasons in terms of the challenges that could have caused to where we are, because we believe that this is public money that we must follow through and people must account those who are in charge of all this particular project. I'm not sure if I should go at length in terms of what we have, what has been our observation and the report given by the people in charge, HODs or DDGs.
I mean, what we heard from the executive is that one of the things, there are budget problems. Everybody knows about the budget problems. But what concerns me is the indication that there's lack of cooperation amongst yourselves, government entities, which result in, and I mean, it's not the only reason, which result in the backlog that we see. Just explain to me how you're going to get that right.
Okay, in terms of Gauteng, because of now I'm in Gauteng, but I want to I let the listeners to say these provincial weeks, it's happening all over in all these 9 provinces. In terms of the issue that you have just indicated of the budget problem, It's one of the reflection is that there's inadequate capacity, be it on the human resource and as well those who are involved, like your professional service providers on site and project managers. We have people who actually doesn't know what to do in terms of planning and implementation as well as monitoring and evaluation, because there's lack of proper project management in all these projects that we have identified. It's only few where you can see that if you put fit for purpose people, you are able to get the output that you want in terms of service delivery and job creation. Like, for instance, yesterday we were at Citibank. There's a project, Litable. That project, it really shows that when you have proper people who understand financial issues in terms of financial management, who understand project management and project planning, you are able to do what you have to do within a scope, and you are able to mitigate as you experience risk. So these budget problems, they are not only based on the fact of the limitation of budget. It's just that we have people perhaps who could have undercosted the project because of they wanted to be given this particular tenders. Some of the impact is on the basis of disruptions by local communities, as it when they feel that they are not being saved as supposed to in terms of 30% issue or of them getting those particular opportunities. And some is just on the issue of vandalism. So those issues, they actually affect the whole process of project being unfolding properly without affecting the budget. So those were the reasons that we were given in terms of what are the issues that has these particular cost implications or budget implication, where we see that in most of the project, there's some shortfalls that we are picking up. And I want to say that at least one can confirm that here, actually, that when we met with the executive and the premier, they didn't hide anything, that we are not where we're supposed to be. However, more needs to be done.
So you highlighted a good visit. Let's talk about the bad visits. You've been to Charlotte Matleke, but the one that worries me the most, have you not been to Charlotte Matleke?
We've been to Charlotte Matleke. Right. We went on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. That was our first starting point, Charlotte Matleke. You would know the case there is that 4 years ago, there was some incident of arson or the building burnt. So they had an issue with the municipality in terms of conducting the project there on the basis of issues of safety. But now when we were there, we were indicated that the matter has been resolved. So the construction has started. One of the things that we have experienced while we were there is that there was an issue of water, and at least the Department of Health made sure that they come in terms of ensuring that the water is restored. And it was restored, and we were then taken through in terms of what is happening now in terms of reviving of that particular project. Mm. The status before, it was abandoned, but it is now changed to revived on the basis that there's construction on site, and the community around there, they are involved in terms of them being benefactors and beneficiaries of the project. Mm. So we were assured that the project that is ongoing now, it will be delivered according to the time frames and standards of services in terms of projects.
As I said, I'm with JJ Tabani here. JJ, they went to a school also called Duzenendlela, a special school.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And there's a request that there needs to be an urgent report that the province needs to put together for the NCOP. What's the problem with this particular school?
The problem with this particular... Are you asking me or JJ?
I'm asking you.
All right, thank you. You know, JJ is... All right. In terms of Duzenendlela, one is that we were taken into confidence that the land there, it doesn't belong to the department, one. Mm. Number two, it's not even conducive for human consumption or people to stay there. However, human rights could have intervened in terms of speaking to the challenges that were there, and now they got the report from Human Rights in terms of the mitigation, risk mitigation that they've put in place. We have advised them to say that because of it's been declared not as a suitable place for any development on the basis of the infrastructure, what is their plans in terms of ensuring that they move from another space rather than spending the money that they are spending now? As we speak, there are projects that are taking place, and we have asked, how do you put a fence like what they're busy with in terms of construction in a society that you know that there's vulnerability? People are selling these things to scrapyards. We were asking them on basis of following the money to say, but what are the implications in terms of what you are doing now
vis-a-vis, and what did they say?
What they said to us, it's a matter of for now they have to do it because of safety, and they're still waiting to finish that particular process of getting to know whether the department is going to get them a better space, or they're going to buy that particular area where they are in Duzenendlela. But I can tell you, JJ, we were very aggrieved about the situation on the basis that if there's a report, an indication that the place is not good for any usage, how do you then occupy the space
and want to put
especially for the fact that we they are not dealing with me and you.
But these are your comrades. Did you feel helpless?
We did feel helpless because whatever that is being done by your comrade or whoever, it can't touch you. As a person who understands issues of human rights, for me, when I went there, we did raise our issue that issue is not only an infrastructure issue; it's a human rights issue.
All right. Let's leave that one. I'm keen in the West Rand now. You visited the West Rand as well? Did you see the dilapidated Montrose mega city that looks like a ghost town? I think they should shoot a movie there of a ghost town.
JJ, the worst part about the issue of West Rand, I'm from West Rand in Mohlakeng, so you would know Montrose is one of the area that belongs to Randfontein. As members, we have raised our issues in terms of that area to be declared a crime scene, noting the 11 billion that was budgeted for that particular program.
And it's finished.
And what you see,
the 11 billion is finished. But the project is unfinished.
Yes, and there are issues besides the fact that the project is unfinished. There are cases that are going through the courts, of which we were told about three. One was commencing on Tuesday as well. It was the issue of crime. I don't know whether to classify it as petty crime or what, but people were stealing tiles, roof tiles.
Yeah, now before we get to that, millions have been spent on owners or whoever Sam Mhlaba represents, right?
Yes.
And he did not pay lots of professionals like architects and civil engineers and those kind of people millions, and he has disappeared. And despite that, your government still appointed another service provider to try and finish, and that person also disappeared. I mean, it sounds like a mess. What are you going to do? Declaring a crime scene means what?
All right. It means that whatever that needs to happen in terms of consequence management, it must happen. If cases must be open for those who are involved, be it officials, be it those who are on the project on site, and be it myself, Jane, if I'm involved, let it be. Because
who are you calling on to declare the crime scene? I'm trying to understand this calling of a crime scene.
Remember,
you're calling on who?
We are calling on the executive.
Of Gauteng.
Yes.
And are they going to do that? Did they say they're going to do that? Because they failed to do that for more than 5 years.
Now is the new year, JJ. And I want to give them a benefit of a doubt that they will do that based on the plans that they have said that they're putting into place to ensure that they deal with these issues.
Yeah.
So I want us to.
Yeah. And I'm sure the previous MMC for housing under whose watch this thing happened had 6 SIU reports that were put on the premier's desk. It's now 5 years. I don't know what confidence you have that anything is going to happen.
Let me tell you then, the confidence that I have now, or what actually gives me confidence of giving them the benefit of a doubt, is the fact that in this seventh administration, it's not normal as before, where you would get the ANC with the majority.
Okay.
We've got other partners whom one believes that all of them, they are claiming to be, or they are saying they are for the people of Gauteng. So they would make sure that everything happens as supposed to what has been committed.
We live in hope. While you are in the West Rand, sewage flowing into the rivers, Jane. I mean, really, man. I mean, what bottom are we headed now? What explanation was given to you? Because this story broke a few days ago that the West Rand water situation is so bad that the sewage is spilling into water, you know, into rivers and drinking water and what have you.
Okay. In terms of issues of sewer spillage, as I said, I'm staying in Mohlakeng. In Mohlakeng, when there's such, people will report this issue on through the councillors, and we would have sewer people coming and dealing with those issues. But most of the area that I know that they are more aggrieved on this issue of sewer spillage, it's in Pakistan.
Okay.
However, what I know is that there's a plan in terms of dealing with that issue, because of West Rand, in particular Rand West, has been appointed as service providers in terms of sewer services in Gauteng by the premier. So I think us getting some funds from the province in terms of dealing with sewer spillages as the custodian of that particular service, it will assist us to deal with what we have as a problem now.
But
I want to be on record, JJ, with regards to the sewer spillages, that what I know is that when you call, when you inform the councillor about this issue,
they fix
it. If you have an effective councillor, they do come.
But do you agree that the local government's fear, in as far as your party's concerned, is failing us? From all the things you have said now, the school, whether be it Marcelo Matleke not having water, a whole hospital, no water. Okay?
But then, please note, in terms of... JJ...
It sounds like a mess, man, Jane.
Let's get it right. Nobody is denying the fact that things are not right. I've admitted, I've told you that as the NCOP, we are so aggrieved. And remember, it's not like we coming from Cape Town. We are the same communities of these areas. So hence, one would want to say to you, I don't want you to think or believe that I'm protecting anyone. We came here as beneficiaries and benefactors in terms of this particular services of Gauteng. So don't doubt us in terms of what we are doing. So, we hope that the recommendations that we will do will follow through and make sure that whatever the commitments that are done will happen. In terms of the NCOP, just to take you through on how this thing happens. We have what we call undertakings, of which it's commitments by your executive, be it to do what they have to do besides doing things differently. So it is our responsibility that when they come before us through NCOP, we are able to ask them to say, on this time, at this day, you said you would do 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Did you do it? Why? And they need to account. So I think now what makes me hopeful is the fact that they have put interventions that one thinks if they are applied soonest, we would be able to deal with most of the issues. Just to Can I just pause you there?
We've got actually a caller from Mohale City, but another thing I'd like you to address is, you know, all good and well, but you've got a shortfall of 1.1 billion rand. How is this going to happen?
With regards to the issue of the shortfall of 1.1 billion rand, remember there's medium-term budget review where when you have shortfalls, you would go through that process of meeting with the National Treasury, make your case, and then speak around how those issues and issues of priority on services that you would want to do. So that process will go by law in terms of debates, discussions, agreements, up until whatever that is justifiable and fair would be addressed.
All right. We've lost the caller. So
we should try and get that caller back, because I think they may give us a better perspective of what on earth is going on there.
Should we take
in Mohale City? So you are putting me to as well account on Mohale City, while I'm not even the mayor there.
You're the one that cracks the whip.
I was invited for the NCOP and the provincial whip, but anything, it's fine. I would respond to my best of my ability.
Katlego in Mohale City. Maybe they're raising concerns so that you can raise concerns.
Exactly.
Katlego, hi.
Yes, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
No, I'm good.
I can't hear Katlego. Can Katlego come loud?
All right. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
We can hear
you. Yes, Katlego, I can hear you now.
All right. Now, I was saying that, Ms. Jane, I hear what you're saying, you know, and when you talk about issues of sewer, the sewer is not just the one that are flowing on the street. We are talking about the fact that there are sewer plants that are not doing the work that they're supposed to do. And as a result, what is happening is that the effluent is going into the rivers, affecting you all the way up to Hartbeespoort Dam, which also feeds into the Vaal River. So we've got a situation we're going to have a Hamas crash in Mohale City very soon on the West Rand as a whole. Sure. So can you agree that the infrastructure within the West Rand has fallen apart, and there needs to be a serious investment to revive this infrastructure? And it is as a result of the neglect, you know, of the ANC government for neglecting the infrastructure that they found. There has never been an upgrade on the infrastructure that the ANC has found since 1994 here in the West Rand. And as a result, it is falling apart. And before we know it, we are going to have issues of hamantral, of cholera, and people dying because this government is neglecting the very core of what it's supposed to do here at a local level, which is infrastructure development, infrastructure maintenance.
Katlego, thank you. Thanks for that. Jane, you want to comment on that?
Yes, let me comment. I like how Katlego has actually asked his question, but again, he has given some solutions in terms of what needs to be done, of which one would say that it's a fair analysis that we do have some infrastructure is neglected. But I think he shortfalled of mentioning the fact that we have old infrastructure, beside the fact that it's neglected. One of the challenges that we have old infrastructure that needs to be maintained, and just maintained, where we need to start afresh, And I'm noting what he has said in terms of infrastructure investment and infrastructure development, of which one would take it as an umpago to advise those who are in executive that side that it is important that they make sure that they do what they have to do on issues of investment for infrastructure. And I think I have said it, that the issue of sewer, it's not pleasing. I'm staying in Mohlakeng. I'm a resident of Mohlakeng, a ratepayer of Mohlakeng. So with me as well, when I see any spillage, I just call. Even people from Mohale City, when they want intervention, those who are staying in Mohale City, they can tell you, I'm one of those that is accessible as when they need a person to speak to for intervention, because our role is not interfering with all the systems. It's about intervention. So with this one, I'm noting it, and I want to confirm here that I would actually speak to the executive mayor of Mohali City that this issue was brought through Kaya FM.
Appreciate that very much. NCOP Gauteng Provincial Whip, Jane Mananani. So, thank you so much for your time.
Problem with this politician, they don't have heart for South Africa. They don't love this country. If we always will changing mayors after 2 months, 3 months, they don't love this country. This thing that is done by Herman Mashaba, it's bad. It's very bad for our country. And also, I think ANC need to be taken out because now that they're trying to be clever. Why they allow Herman Mashaba to do this? The problem is ANC here.
So JJ, what did you make of this? Because from what you were hearing, we're going to make sure. Have we not heard this before?
Yeah, we've heard it before. I've always said every election, even 2019, they said this is it.
This is the one.
Yeah, but I think this particular one was different. I mean, 40% is no small joke. But the ANC behaves like they won an election. They got 40% and then they got 70% of cabinet. So they're still walking around, you know, with their heads held high. And somebody should remind them, you lost elections by 40%. It's finished. Now, and that's the issue. The issue is that their complacency, it will be their downfall in the next election. In the 26th election, the local government ones, and the next one. So often change takes time. Now, if you looked at what happened at the 21 local government elections, ANC was at 45.
Yeah.
And they said, no, people didn't vote. It was too cold. It was whatever.
They said more. They said, you, the media, are responsible for people not to come out.
No, total rubbish. Yeah. They're total nonsense. They know that is not the case. The media cannot tell their constituents how to vote. It's them who did it all by themselves, by being poor stewards of people's resources, by being corrupt, by being inefficient in terms of the things they're supposed to do. They did it all by themselves. I was just saying the trends are going downward. So 21 was 45, now it's 40. If the trends are anything to go by, it means the local government elections to be 30, and the next, they will be out in 2029.
You keep hearing the rhetoric, we are not alone in this now. We have other people to hold us accountable. Do you buy that?
No, I don't buy that at all. Because in Gauteng, they are alone. We are talking Gauteng here, unless Kaya is also in Eastern Cape.
Kaya is everywhere. We're on the internet.
Is it? On the air. All right, sorry.
We are on.
Apologize. In Gauteng, they are alone, and they made sure they are alone.
Yeah.
Right? So that argument doesn't apply here. Nationally, the DA is only in 6 out of 35 ministries. So they are alone in the rest of the other ministries. So the stealing goes on as we speak. They didn't slow down. Zondo said, I was at a conference last week where Zondo spoke, and he said, you know, when we were doing the Zondo Commission, we thought people would slow down stealing. They accelerated, but hey, irinda toisa afezi, reach erifezi. So unfortunately, the situation is actually worse than we think.
It is quite bad, because when you listen to what everybody is saying, even up to now with this Tswane issue, I'm quite disappointed. All that I've heard in the past 2 weeks are mud flingings. I'm actually not seeing people work.
I'm sure they work because you don't live there. But all I'm saying is...
Are you sure? I don't live there.
Oh, you don't? Oh, no.
No,
I've lost touch, really. If you've moved to Jogo Lane. Anyway, so the issue is, right, what we need to be worried about is that the politicians don't mind the musical chairs. Let's forget about Tswane for a minute. Take Joburg. They call a big press conference to say how Kamanda has been wonderful. You know, he got a good audit. He did X, Y, and Z. You know, he even charged people 200 rand for this electricity thing, and he stood his ground. They made a list of Kamanda's successes, and then still fire him. So then you are puzzled. Okay, why did you remove him? All right, no. So that my friend Dada can be in charge for the remaining 2 years, because then they would campaign from a position of incumbency. That's all this is about. Same in Tswane. It's not because CDRS has failed. And that's really not true. CDRS may have his own weaknesses. but not to remove him 2 years before, unless it's a political machination. And this is what is happening now. Quite apart from the fact that it shows that their friendship at national GNU level, it doesn't trickle down downwards the way it should.
Nkosana is calling from Soweto. Hi, Nkosana.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm going to be to try and be brief as far as possible, but I'm a resident from Soweto, Piri, which is Region D in the city of Joburg. So we haven't had like electricity for the past 3 months as a household, not as the community.
Okay.
So the reason behind that is that the transformer that we are using has been faulty for the past 10 to 15 years.
Sure.
Because people are using illegal electricity and so forth. So now it came to a point whereby we are a reliable customers to Eskom. We do pay on a regular basis. So what these people do during winter season, will have a problem issue, an electricity issue, and then it will trip. Suddenly we'll have to contribute money for illegal connections. So it came to a point whereby we had had enough and decided not to contribute. So what they did, they went to the mini sub and then they disconnected the wire that connects the electricity to our household. So now we've tried many measures. We've tried to call Eskom. We've tried to go to the counselor. He also assisted us to go to the manager who is the manager of Eskom within the Region D. And he said that they are going to install new transformers now in September, but nothing has happened. And it's really difficult to live in a household that doesn't have electricity, being the only household in the neighborhood, just because we don't want to do what they are doing.
Who's so, they, Nkosan?
The community members.
Mm.
Yes, ma'am.
So why is it only you that's affected?
It is because we do not want to contribute the money for the illegal connections, because if ever, for example, the circuit breaker, it bends, we'll have to come as a community, which is 46 members that use that transformer, and we have to contribute money for the illegal connections. Let's say maybe in a matter of the month, we contribute 450, the other week we contribute 300. So we ask them a question, why don't you take this money and send it to Eskom? But they don't want to go there because they know that they are not paying. So with us, it's a different scenario because we pay on a regular basis to Eskom, but we are not receiving any electricity.
Mm-hmm.
We even went to the manager, that he even checked on the system that says our account is up to date, but we are not receiving any assistance. And it's now the third month, since from the 9th of August up until now, we don't have electricity.
I think you must give us your details. So you must give the producer your details, because this is a bizarre case of a citizen.
Yeah, it's an extortion as well.
Yeah, that's complying, and then they get to suffer because they are being asked to. Why illegal collection?
So they were able to isolate your home alone.
Yes. So what they did, because we have a main transformer that provides electricity for the 46 houses and the mini substations on each street, what they did, because we didn't contribute the 415 this time, they took off the wire that connects electricity to our house from the transformer.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that you can do in that scenario, because if ever you're going to say maybe you want to fight against those people, you are fighting a losing battle, because those people are meaner than you. So it means they are superior and now you are inferior.
Mm-hmm.
So Bosana, that's the issue that you have.
We're going to put you back to the producers. We're going to put you back to the producers. Thanks so much for that. Yeah, let's take a breather. Let's do that, and then we'll be back with Leroy when we come back.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.